is a former Maine Sportscaster of the Year, the longtime voice of the University of Maine Black Bear women's basketball team, and, you know, all-around good guy as well. Don Shields joins us. Hi there, Don.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you today?
Cannot complain at all.
Well, a very exciting start to the season for the Maine Black Bears. And, you know, as Richard Barron told us a few weeks back, just being able to play was a victory of sorts for these teams. But this Black Bear women's team has been tough right out of the chute this season.
Yeah, and, you know, last year I think you and I talked a little bit as they were getting ready for the America East Tournament. We mentioned, you know, next year they're going to bring back Blanca Milan and Vonnie Watling. So, in reality, they brought back six starters. You know, very deep. Blanca has been maybe even more impressive than she has been in the past, and that's hard to say because we're talking about, you know, someone who's been player of the year, has been all defensive player, but man, she has really started off a house of fire. And you know, they had some early season injuries. We went through that last year, but you know, they brought back Vonnie slowly, brought back Maeve even a little bit more slowly. Now they're getting back to full speed. So, yeah, I think this team is going to make a lot of noise in America East, and I really think they're going to start going on a run in large part because they're finally going to get a chance to play some games at home.
Yeah, let's talk about the job, too, that Amy Vachon has done with this team. This year, for all coaches in college sports, it's more than just the X's and O's, but dealing with a whole set of challenges that have been thrown out there by COVID-19, and it seems like she has done a terrific job managing that extra piece.
It certainly has, and the, you know, I think it really speaks volumes about her leadership. Is, you know, her players have bought in since day one, and when I mean day one, I mean day one in the summer, when they all started to, you know, start coming back and they were doing their individual drills, wearing masks. I mean, pretty much the you know, this is how we're going to have to do it to succeed, to be able to play, to be successful. And there has not been, so far, as she likes to say, knock on wood, a bump in the road. So, you know, that's the leadership that she has been leading, you know, not only with her, but her staff, and the players have all bought in. And, it, you know, I can't imagine. You know, it's tough now at our age, you know, basically going to work, go home, go to work, go home, go to work, go home. Can't imagine being in college and, you know, being either late teens, early 20s, and you go to school, you go to practice, you go home. You know, basically that's what your life is, and not being able to, you know, not breaking out of that and just saying, oh, well, I can do this once, not taking that chance is really speaks volumes of the message Amy has delivered to her kids.
No, there's no question about that. Well, we've mentioned the incredible early season play of Blanca Milan. Who else is standing tall so far for the Black Bears?
Well, you know, Dor Czar, I think we have ignored Dor, and we probably shouldn't have, but, you know, we've ignored Dor here over the last 3 years, and, you know, arguably she's probably going to go down as one of the top three point guards ever to play at Maine. You know, when you take a look at the numbers, she's already got 449 assists. Only Cindy Blodgett and Amy Vachon have more. She'll pass Blodgett. She won't catch Vachon on that. She's right now 10 threes away from tying Cindy for the all-time, being the all-time three-point shooter in Maine history. She's going to score 1,000 points. And her assist-to-turnover ratio is right now, for her career, 1.91, which basically means she has two assists every one turnover.
Wow!
And and you take a look at the stat sheets, there are very few people who even are close to that. Matter of fact, next on Maine is Kim Corbett with 1.76. There's only three players in Maine history that's been over 1.5 assist to turnover ratio, and she's closing in on two, which is really kind of a scary number when you think about it. She's their floor leader, you know, and she's one of those kids that if they need her to score 20, she's going to score 20. If they need her to have 9 assists, she's going to have 9 assists. She really knows what to do to, you know, keep this team moving. And the other thing that's really amazing, Rich, I don't think people notice this much, but her minutes, she's over 3,500 career minutes, and that's seventh all-time in program history.
Wow.
Blanca is sixth all-time career history. They both could be, by the time this is all said and done, be fourth or fifth or maybe even higher in minutes played in program history.
That's incredible. And how about that performance last game from Kelly Fogarty?
You had to feel good for Kelly. I mean, goodness gracious, she'd been she had struggled the first five games and three quarters. She'd made 1-3 going into the fourth quarter of the New Hampshire game on Saturday. And this is someone, you know, she had 113 career threes going into the year, so we know she can make the three. And then in that fourth quarter on Saturday in the game they lost, she actually made three threes in a row that put them up by six with 90 seconds to go, and then they just, you know, couldn't make another basket and committed some, you know, fouls, untimely fouls, I was trying to think of the right word, and let New Hampshire get back into the game and win it by a point. And then she carried over those three threes into Saturday on Sunday, and when she got rolling, man, I mean, they just kept feeding her the ball, and New Hampshire was sagging off her. I was surprised New Hampshire didn't make the adjustment. I think in large part, they were basically saying, we'd rather have Kelly Fogarty beat us than Blanca Milan. Mm. Well, Kelly Fogarty beat you.
We're talking with Don Shields here on Downtown. What can we expect to see from New Jersey Institute of Technology this weekend?
They're a young team. They're new to the league, obviously. I've watched them. I think I've watched about four of their games. So they're real young. They have one senior. They have nice pieces. That, you know, so that I think that's, I'm trying to be as kind. They're a team that can get hot. They do like to take a lot of threes. They're hurt by the fact that A, they only have one senior. B, they commit a lot of turnovers. They commit about 19 turnovers per game, and that has got them into a world of hurt. There's only been one game they played this year where they have committed fewer turnovers than their opponent. So, and the type of game Maine likes to play, Maine usually forces teams into turnovers. They're usually one of the best teams in the conference in forced turnovers. So, you know, I think that, you know, Maine does what they're supposed to do. They should win both games. NJIT is one of those teams, I think, because they're so young. I think they got five freshmen. That's a team in the next couple of years that I think will make noise within America East. A lot of people don't realize they've wanted to be in America East for more than a decade. I remember going down there in 2009 and having a conversation with someone before a game there, and how desperately they wanted to be in America East. Well, they're finally in America East. It really does make sense. They, you know, with Stony Brook right there, to have that presence just outside of New York City. So I think it's a great addition to the league. And, you know, I think that they're, you know, maybe a similar story to UMass Lowell, where UMass Lowell really struggled early in the league. But now they're a team that you have to be reckoned with. And I think that's what you're going to see in the next couple of years. NJIT starting to take that step forward now that they're in this league.
New challenge for you this season too, Don. What's it been like doing the games remotely?
I hate it. you know, and Rich, you'll understand this. So you do the pregame show, and you have to, and we do 30-minute pregame shows, as you know, and the video stream doesn't start until the top of the hour. So you're doing a 30-minute pregame show praying that the video is going to work.
Right.
When it's been ESPN Plus games, I've had no issues with the video. When it has not been ESPN Plus games, well, I haven't seen the first quarter of either of those two games. So I've done it all off live stats. And, you know, I'd heard about the Green Bay announcer having a similar thing happen about a week before our season opened. And I thought, okay, well, that's, you know, that's not a bad thing. You have that in the back of your mind in case something happens. You can watch it. You can watch the stat monitor and make stuff up, which I did.
I've made stuff up before, but only because I missed a play.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm not saying I haven't made stuff up over the past. Of course I have. I like to refer to it more as making it up is embellishing.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, when the stat monitor says, basket Milan, assist Czar, you know, I think it gives you right there the, you know, a little, you know, freedom to design that play any way you want. and I did. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to this weekend because, you know, the great staff at UMaine, and man, I'll tell you, we do have great support staff.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, as you know, I can't even be there.
Right.
I could either stay in my home area, work in my home studio, or I can drive all the way up there and sit in a studio up there and see the same thing and get the same stuff. So I'm going to stay here. But they're going to give me a feed, an actual feed with the whistles and the sound effects from the court and, you know, the actual game action without announcers. And it will be the center court camera going back and forth. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think that will be a different presentation for us. Right now I've got, you know, a loop of basketball sounds that I actually recorded in South Carolina for a commercial, of all things. Back in 2016, I had somebody who wanted a commercial. They wanted a kind of like the NBA horn. So I was in South Carolina. We were playing there. There was a game before ours, maybe 100 people in the stands. I went early and recorded like 5 minutes of, just the game, just the, you know, the noise going around, got the horns, got the whistles, and I decided, okay, I've got this audio. I went back to it, and I made it, had to take all the whistles and horns out of it. And that's my backdrop. So I'm looking forward to actually having real sound effects and whistles. I mean, whistles and horns, as I said to somebody the other day, I haven't noticed a substitution. You know, you're doing the game, you hear the horn, you look, oh, there's a kid walking into the game. Oh, great. I can say, you know, so-and-so's in the game now. And all of a sudden, you're watching the game on this monitor, and it's like the second time down for a player, and you go, oh, well, so-and-so's in the game now. So, obviously I've missed being there and seeing the games. I don't see any end of the, you know, light at the end of the tunnel for that. In our current situation, but at least I'm able to do some games, and I understand why we're not there, because you know that's the number, and you know you got to take care of the teams and the people who are doing the game. So broadcasters are low on that list. I totally get that, and just hope that maybe at some point in the season I get to see them in person, because this is such a great team. You hate not seeing them in person.
Yeah, but it's great to have your voice. Makes us feel like we're there, Don, and you paint that picture so well. Yeah, we could swear you're right there, so I don't want to do anything to dispel that illusion.
Well, you know, and like I know, like you know, I am a little excitable.
What?
Yeah. So I still, you know, I figure I might as well bring the energy, right?
Exactly.
I mean, this is what I'm not going to change the way I do the game. I still, you know, I mean, I'm emotionally wrapped up in the team. I'm sure you are with Maine football too, right? I mean, you travel with that team, you know that team. You want them to win, you want them to succeed, so you get emotionally wrapped up, and so I do. And you know, hopefully hopefully we haven't missed a beat during these games while we're in remote.
Well, we look forward to hearing it this weekend as the Black Bears take on NJIT. Don, always good to talk with you, my friend. Have a great broadcast this weekend, and we'll catch up with you again a little later in the season.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
Thank you, Don. Don Shields, the voice of the Black Bears on Downtown. Our Black Bear Report's brought to you by ClearPoint Capital, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears. Call Mike Toole at 307-7718.